Okay, this is the hour. We're going to take your phone calls with Jim McCloy. And if you are from the New Jersey area and you've got some Jersey Devil stories for us, definitely call in. Back with James McCloy and your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, what aspect of the Jersey Devil fascinates you the most?
I think one interesting story is, which we haven't mentioned yet, is the birth. And again, what happened there is the birth years are various, too. The most common one, or I guess the one if you go back to the Lees family, is 1735.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different birth years, 1884. But, of course, some of these you can just count because you have that written evidence prior to that. And anyhow, one story that sort of gotten buried over the years was the fact that the one tale says that the Jersey Devil was born. It was a twin. There was twins. And that there was a normal baby and a devil baby, and the devil baby smothered the normal baby. Of course, the most common story is that Mother Leeds had 12 children, and when she found out she was expecting her 13th, the unlucky 13th, she cried out in frustration, "I hope it's the devil." And then, of course, again, you had the variations, and one night the raging storm blew in, and the location may have been Burlington, Estillville, Leeds Point, different locations, that she gave birth to a baby, which in a matter of minutes had transformed itself into a hideous form. It rose up in bed, the bat-like wings sprouted from its shoulder, its face elongated into that of a horse. And according to some stories, it consumed Mother Leeds, Father Leeds, brothers and sisters and several midwives, and flew up the chimney to haunt South Jersey forevermore. And the more common tale is that she kept the devil baby locked up in the attic or the cellar anywhere between 2 and 18 years. And one night during a storm, the window or door or something blew open, and that's when the child escaped. Also versions that the devil was born to a South Jersey girl because she had been cursed by a passing gypsy, or she was born during the American Revolution to a woman who was guilty of treason, or get some religious tie in that one time the child was born cursed because it's Mother Leeds that had driven off a man selling Catholic Bibles. And another story was a Protestant clergyman had approached the family and was driven off, and this also resulted in a curse.
See, I think this thing could be a dinosaur.
Could be. I mean, that's the one theory that, somehow or other survived or something.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's go to some calls. We'll go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Danny, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
When I was little, like maybe early 80s, we used to go, my whole family would go to see, visit my my cousins in Violent, New Jersey. And she had this real big, scary house out in the woods. And she would tell us that story about the Jersey Devil. And she told us he used to ride a black horse and come out at nighttime. And you couldn't even outrun them. And it was real scary. As soon as it started getting dark, we was all on the porch right near the door because it was real scary. So I wanted to know if you heard anything about that, like the devil riding a black stallion or something.
No, I heard that one specifically. Now, one time around the Chatsworth in the 1980s, a woman said she saw the Jersey Devil. She said it was in the form of a white horse, and it was flying over the tops of the trees and had wings. And then in Monmouth Beach, back about 100 years ago, a woman said the Jersey Devil transformed itself into a very large horse, and it was seen in the Monmouth Beach area. But I haven't heard the Black Stallion Vineland story. But I mean, there's so many, there's just so many stories out there, and that's very interesting.
Okay, next up, let's go to Joanne in our wild card line. Hey, Joanne.
Hello.
Hi.
I moved to New Jersey in 1955.
Okay.
And the house was surrounded by woods, and we were always told to beware of the Jersey Devil. And we took it lightly. It was just, we thought it was something to scare kids so they wouldn't get too far away from home. Sure enough, in 1979, I was driving on Salina Road in Washington Township, and there's an S-curve there. And the S-curve has its own stories because there's a little creek with a bridge, and you have to slow down because it is an S-curve. The two-lane highway. This was 1:30 in the morning. I was going to the casinos with a friend.
Okay.
And suddenly, the Jersey Devil flew from the right-hand side, stopped in front of my car, spread its wings, opened its mouth, and screamed, and was fluttering its wings, staying there, and then took off. And she said to me, "What was that?" I said, "Well, you didn't see anything?" She said, "No, it felt like death." And I told her what I saw. I said, "I know that was the Jersey Devil." And it appeared like a gargoyle. And I noticed that it had strong muscles in its legs. And then the legs got skinnier. And then it seemed as though it had, you know, like three huge toes. And the wingspan was phenomenal. And I'd say it was at least 5 foot.
That's pretty detailed, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it does take on the appearance of a gargoyle, and it is common for people to be, you know, riding along, and then, you know, suddenly here is this thing in front of the car, alongside the car, or, you know, flying along in front and so forth. So they, you know, that's very, type of sighting there.
He didn't seem too frightened to me. He seemed fairly aggressive.
Okay.
I think he was startled. He was flying across. Again, there's a creek there, and I've also heard that they follow, or it follows water.
Hey, Joanne, did it look more animal than human?
Oh, it was. There was no human that could give birth to what I saw.
Nothing. Okay.
This was the scariest gargoyle type of animal I've seen, and it had a tail, and it was challenging me in my car. It was, you know, spreading its wings and staying stationary over my car for a few seconds.
Oh.
Being brought up with the Jersey Devil in my ear constantly, it didn't affect me as it might have had I never heard the story. My brain just said, okay, Jersey Devil, it does exist.
And now you're a believer.
Don't like to tell the story too much. I've told it to just, you know, close people.
Yeah, because some people don't, you know, want to accept it. Another, you know, like I said, many people, like you say, I know what I saw.
Like UFO reports, Jim, how many people hold back because they think they're going to get ridiculed?
Well, I'd say a number of people, like when we did the books and so forth, some people would say, well, I want to tell you my story, but, you know, you can't use my name or, you know, things of that sort. So probably, you know, many people have stories but just don't want to tell them or don't want their name associated with it.
Let's go to Mike, Wildcard Line. You're up with us. Michael, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I had a sighting. I currently live in Florida, but I was born in New Jersey. I lived in Howell Township. And I was an avid hunter, wilderness survivalist, that type of a thing. From a very early age, I was out in the woods. And we were actually out on a quote-unquote Jersey Devil hunt one night, and I didn't like the group, and a couple of the other people that were with us didn't like the group either. I had been studying it since I was a child. It always fascinated me, and I took it very seriously, and I always studied the Native American stories about it. I don't know if you ever heard any of those, about it being the Jersey Devil actually being a protector of the wildlands.
Okay, especially like the Meething legend.
Yeah, like, and it was very, it's very similar to a lot of the Bigfoot legends, where he's a shapeshifter, like you were saying, he can change shape. Now, the form that I saw was the gargoyle form, like this lady was just talking about.
Okay.
And we were walking through, and we were quite far ahead of the rest of the group.
Where was this? What area is this now?
You know Turkey Swamp Park?
Up in Ocean County, right?
Yeah, I believe it's Ocean.
And Howell, right.
It's I think it's still Howell.
Okay, yeah, I know about where you mean, yeah.
That area, yeah. It's out toward Jackson Way.
Right, right.
I've been in Florida for 12 years. I try to forget New Jersey, honestly. but we were out there, and we were just walking, and I'm walking with a mother and her son. It happened to be a Cub Scout group, and her son was in the group, and my father was the pack leader. And this child, he was, for a 12-year-old kid, he was more man than most of the guys that were in the, most of the parents. He was very, old for his age. And he took it very seriously, too. And him and his mom wanted to walk with me because I had told them all the stories and stuff like that. And we were walking, and all of a sudden I said, just stop for a second. And we looked up in the tree, and like the eyes you were describing before, they were red. And it was a gargoyle shape crouched up in a tree. And I'll tell you, I treasure the moment, honestly. I did not fear it. It was a feeling of protection. It was huge, like he was there. It was an absolute, and I might have seen him one other time. I'm not sure if it was him or not. But every time I would go out in the woods and I would go hunting, there was a presence you could feel.
Never felt threatened.
Never. No. It was. It's a feeling of protection. It's hard to explain. You're out there and you know someone's watching and making sure that it's going to be taken care of, because I treasured the woods. The woods, like I said, I should have been a full-time, bow hunter. This is what I should have done because that's how much I was out in the woods.
Did it run off when you saw it, or did it take off?
Yeah, after a while, we just kind of sat there, and we watched it for probably 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
But it was dark. It was nighttime. You had kind of a moon out, and you could see it up there, and you could see the shape, and I would describe it as a gargoyle shape.
Okay.
And we just kind of just watched it, and it just kind of looked back at us with an intelligence. Hmm. You know how you look at something and, like you have one, you look at one dog and you can say, that's a dumb dog, and you look at another dog, that dog could probably outsmart you if you let him. It just had an intelligence in its eyes, and it was absolutely amazing, and then it took off. And you could hear the wings beat, and it was gone. And, I mean, it was an amazing time. It really was. And I'm not, I believe in science, and I believe in proof. But I also know that sometimes you just got to listen to yourself, and you have to say, hey, that's what I saw. That's what I felt. And it was an amazing experience. It was about 21 years ago.
Right. Just things you can't explain. Right.
Thanks, Mike. When hockey team was named the New Jersey Devils, 10,000 people voted in a newspaper contest to get that name. So I guess he's pretty popular out that way, Jim.
Okay, and North Jersey, that's North Jersey, interesting. I knew they had some sort of a contest. Interestingly, over the years he's been strongest in South Jersey because that's where the Pine Barrens are and the salt marshes. And he wasn't as well known in North Jersey until more recent years, I guess because of maybe the books or media coverage. He's becoming better known, but the homeland, so to speak, is the pine lands or the salt marshes of South Jersey. And he's especially well known in, say, in the South Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area.
Exactly. Next up, let's go to John in Youngstown, Arizona, west of the Rockies.
How you doing, Jim?
Hey, John, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm 56 years old.
Okay.
And I remember growing up, and I spent a lot of time with my grandfather and grandmother. And my grandpa had a barn, and Phoenix was real small back then. And I always asked him what's in the barn. He'd hear squeals and stuff, and he said, oh, don't worry about it. When my grandmother, later in life, I was probably, I'd say maybe about the fifth, sixth grade, she became bedridden. And she wanted me to go on her dresser and bring her this hat, and I brought it to her. And it had feathers, and I said, what is this? And she goes, well, you and Grandpa are going to go let the birds go. And I went in that barn, and here's these great, big, huge birds. And I asked my grandfather, what are they? And he said, they're carrier pigeons. And he had 8 of them. And we loaded those things, and they'd bite and everything else. And my grandpa, on the way up the Flagstaff, told me that grandmother fed them, and he fed them mice, and they fed them chickens. And we went up the Flagstaff, and we let those 8 big, huge birds go, and they have a wingspan, huge. And I was just curious, you think that's what people are seeing now?
Could be on some kind of bird. You know, there's birds are, I said it could be the sandhill crane, which isn't around much anymore, but other large birds.
Well, he called them carrier pigeons. So you know what a carrier pigeon is?
Yeah. Well,
this is a big pigeon then. Huh?
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good size.
Well, my grandma said that they used to shoot them. They used to shoot the things to get the feathers to sell the feathers for hats years and years ago. And she had, and we let those eight birds go, and she used to have them in that barn, and I'm not kidding either. Well, I'm going to let you go, but that's a possibility. They're seeing those carrier pigeons we let go.
Either that or some other kind of a bird, right.
I think what's great about the whole legend, myth, story, Jim, is the fact that so many people are seeing something. You can't rule anything out.
Right, it's not some scattered...
it's not made up.
You know, every couple of years, somebody gets just a quick glimpse of something.
Yes, absolutely.
Had some vivid descriptions here today.
Frank in New Jersey, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Frank.
Hello, George, and hi, Jim. Jim,
hi.
You said a few things that really caught my attention. First of all, the story in Manasquan, because I happen to be calling from Manasquan. However, I'd never seen that ghost girl, but... Another thing you said that caught my attention with that was that the Jersey Devil can sometimes be seen as orbs.
As what?
As orbs.
Orbs, little lights.
Yes, that's exactly what I saw. And also you mentioned most sightings can be seen in, most frequently, say, in January and at dusk.
Right.
Because this is exactly what I saw, and this was on January 22nd of 1995. It happened to be a Sunday, I believe. And this was outside of Glassboro. This was in South Jersey. That's in Gloucester County.
Right. I went to Glassboro State.
Oh, okay, great. So you're familiar with Route 322.
Right. Oh, yes.
Right. This was between Route 322 and Exit 2 off of the Turnpike. I was heading west. And just out of nowhere, a green... perfectly transparent orb streaked across my car about just about maybe 10 feet in front. It was it just was so odd, and it just my first impression was it was so beautiful, but then driving down the road just a few seconds later, I said, wait, what the heck was that? And so when you said orbs and when you said January and when you said dusk, I felt I had to call.
That sounds like it's the right time of year anyhow.
yes exactly. And that's the first time I ever heard that they could be seen, that the Jersey Devil could perhaps be seen as orbs.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's always a possibility.
Jim, any follow-up to the two books you've done?
There's more stories. We haven't come out with another book or anything, but there's, you know, so many more stories like we're getting tonight, you know. There's so many more tales that you could probably come out with a, you know, The Son of the Jersey Devil or Jersey Devil 3.
There's a movie there, too, The Son of the Jersey Devil.
Right, the movie and the tradition of, you know, popular. They have a lot of popular culture, not just the Jersey Devil hockey team, but you've had a one time there was a Jersey Devil golf course, there's a Jersey Devil road rally, there was a Jersey Devil cookie, there was even a Jersey Devil women's mud wrestling team at one point, Jersey Devil architects, Jersey Devil pile driving company, Jersey Devil fishing club, so a lot of... Jersey Devils out there, as well as your usual T-shirts and that sort of thing.
We'll be back, Jim. We're going to take final phone calls for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Just fantastic to get these true life experiences about the Jersey Devil. So we'll be back in a moment with more of your phone calls. Hey, have you picked up the After Dark magazine yet? You can do so, renew, or get a brand new subscription. You'll get a double CD. Great interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Jim, if you were out in the Pines area and saw this creature, what would you do?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd probably like to get a good look at him and, you know, get the particular description of the time. And hopefully I would have a camera with me.
That's the point. You got to have a camera. Let's go to some calls. East of the Rockies, Mike in Dorset, Ohio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, George. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi.
Good.
Good. There's just a couple things I'd like to ask. Have you ever heard of a report of a police officer in Bristol, Pennsylvania, shooting at what he believed was the Jersey Devil?
Yeah, it was around the 1909 sighting. This was a... Officer Sackville, who saw the Jersey Devil hopping along a towpath there, he opened fire at the Jersey Devil. And I guess they must have believed him because they later made him the chief of police of Bristol.
And I just wanted to let you know that there was a movie about the Jersey Devil that I saw called The Last Broadcast. Have you ever heard of that?
I heard of it, I think, but I'm not familiar with it. I mean, yeah, I know, I've heard of it, yes.
It was a pretty good movie. Kind of had to do with the Jersey Devil, but it was also, you know, more or less not really about it.
Right. I think it was like a local production, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, it was supposed to be some guys from the local news or radio station, and they were getting tips on what to do for a good show, and somebody suggested, why don't you investigate the Jersey Devil? So they went out into the Pine Barrens and did their research, but, you know, stuff happened.
Right.
All right, great. Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Next up, let us go to Craig, first-time caller. Hey, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, George, Jim. Hey, George, I've delivered papers at night in Jersey down in the Pine Barrens. I heard your show for the first time a few months ago. It's an incredible show. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
I've lived in Jersey my whole life, and my house is actually in Jackson, which is actually central Jersey. And my house is in the Pine Barrens. You're going back in my house, you go into Jackson Woods and then Forest, and then you go into Collier's Mills Forest. And, I mean, there's a lot of things I've never seen, and I've lived in Jersey my whole life. I've never seen anybody or heard anybody that heard the Jersey Devil. But as far as that screaming goes, I was in bed one night, and the windows were open. And this loud scream, eerie sound I heard, I mean, it was horrible. It woke me up out of bed. And it woke me up where, you know, when something scares you, you can't move.
Yes.
And I stayed in bed just listening. I wanted to hear where this noise was coming from before I got out of bed, make sure it wasn't something in the house. And when I heard it the second time, I could hear that it was coming from outside the window in the backyard. And when I looked out, there was actually, we have deer all over the place. And there was deer in the yard, and there was a cat walking by. And the deer were actually making this loud, screaming, eerie noise. They're the cat. So I'm wondering if when people hear this in the woods or hearing this loud, eerie scream, whether they're just hearing the deer, because the deer actually make that noise.
Right. It could be animals that people aren't familiar with, especially today, urbanization. People, you know, get near the woods and can't recognize sounds. But even, like I said before, even people who don't believe in it, that they've heard different kind of sounds which they can't identify, or, you know, strange footprints, things of that sort. I mean, some of these are obviously, you know, animals. Making noises, but others that can't be, you know, explained.
Yeah, because, I mean, honest, when I drive around at night, all of a sudden there's things in the woods running all over the place, but you can't see what they are.
Oh, yeah, a lot of times you can't see what's going on, right.
You have no idea what it is, you know.
Exactly.
But, I mean, like I say, I've experienced ghosts myself, so I believe there are things that, you know, out there. But as far as the Jersey Devil, I've never actually... And I've lived in Jersey my whole life, and I've never heard anybody that has had an experience with it. But, I mean, people say they saw it. I mean, I'm sure they saw something.
Right. Well, that's a lot of it. People say they saw something, but not quite sure what it is.
Thanks, Craig. The last broadcast, 1998, they say, great plot for a low budget. How about that? It lives on. Let's go to Keith driving around in Arkansas. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
This first time I've ever heard y'all's show, but you really caught my attention when you started talking about this Jersey Devil.
Well, welcome. We're huge with truck drivers, Keith. So stay with us.
Well, I'm originally from Arkansas, and I was just wondering, have y'all ever had any reports of any sightings down around the southern parts, like Arkansas, Alabama, anywhere like that?
Not with the Jersey Devil per se. Although he did supposedly turn up in Texas one time. But Arkansas had, I guess it was back in the 60s or 70s, had the appearance of the famous folk monster, and which is kind of related to a Bigfoot. And then I think Bigfoot has been seen in some of the areas down around there.
Did you hear anything?
Right.
Did you hear anything your way, Keith?
Well, the reason I was asking, because in the summer of 1976, me and my brother was playing out in our yard, and it was probably about 11 o'clock at night. And just before we lived way, way out in the country. My daddy always lived, we lived in a very poor area, and we grew up way out in the middle of nowhere. We were sitting on our back porch, and it was real quiet, and we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden something swooped down right at the chicken coop, And we got kind of a good look at it, and it looked like it had, like, bat wings, and it stood about 4 feet tall. But it stood up like a man, and it grabbed two chickens and then took off. And we went to screaming at the top of our lungs and running the house, hollering at my daddy, and he ran out there with a shotgun but didn't see nothing. And we almost got a spanking because he thought we was lying, but he could tell by the look on our face that something scared us.
Mm.
And I, you know, to this day, it just really blows. Me and my brother still talk about it. I'm in my 40s, and so is he, and we still talk about it. We know what we saw. But 13 years after that, in 1989, me and a friend of mine was walking just not 40 miles from where that happened. I was living in another area, and we seen something at night fly over us while we was walking out on a paved road. It looked like it had a wingspan probably of about 6 feet. It was unreal, and it just flew right over us. And that scared me, boy, and I was in my 20s then, and that scared me, and I ran all the way back to the house because I thought it was probably that same thing. That's why I was wondering if it's, you know, if there was ever any sightings of that. But I know I've talked to already 7 different people in my years of growing up in Arkansas that have said they've seen the same thing around their areas out in the country and stuff. That, you know, but nobody ever talks about it because nobody believes them.
Well, it could be something similar. I mean, like I said, one time the Jersey Devil was reported in Texas, so who knows? He could have made a stop in Arkansas, or it could be some local type creature there, because there's a lot of places in the country that have, you know, like the Jersey, New Jersey's got the Jersey Devil, and Florida's got the Skunk Ape, and of course Arkansas the Folk Monster, and so it could be some, you know, local creature along those lines.
Sure thing. Let's go to Rob in Edwardsville, Illinois. Very familiar with Edwardsville. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, busy night tonight. It's hard to get through.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, the reason I was calling, I kind of had a similar story to a couple other guys that I've heard so far. I was probably 7-8 years ago, and we're just driving through New Jersey on our way up to New York, me and a couple friends of mine, and it was about 3 in the morning. We had just stopped and had breakfast and everything, or, you know, grabbed a cup of coffee at a little diner. We get back on the road, you know, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, we're driving, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it was necessarily like running real low to the ground or flying real low to the ground, but it came up and kind of hit the side of our windshield, and we didn't know what it was at first. It had happened so fast, and so I mean, we slam on the brakes, you know, pull the car over and everything. I mean, we're all kind of freaking out. We get out of the car, kind of hearing like some weird noises from the ditch, almost like a squealing, like it was kind of hurt. I don't know if you're very familiar like with the movie E.T., but it was kind of like the noise that he makes in that movie, like,
yeah,
from the ditch.
A squeal.
Yeah, like a loud squealing, like it was kind of hurt. And so we get a flashlight on my trunk. We're kind of looking around. We can't really see much of anything until, like, we all get out, and we just kind of start scanning through this area. Well, so then whenever we get up, we see this thing, I guess it was the devil. It kind of jumped up, and it had a real slender neck. And we could see these wings, and only one of them was really kind of kicking around. I mean, you've seen like an injured bird or a duck try to get up whenever it's kind of hurt, like it's winged, you know. And it was kind of flapping one, mm-hmm. and the other one was pretty limp. But I mean, we never really told many people about it. We actually told everybody else we missed a deer, you know, because everybody think we were crazy.
Jimmy, you're getting more fodder for another book, you
right,
know.
Right, I know. A lot of good stories here.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for that call. Let's go to Brian in Florida. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, George. I just want to say 10 years and I finally made it.
Yay.
So I had a chill go up my spine when I heard this woman talking about that S-curve in Jersey, and then the fellow after her who was talking about the 8 large birds in Arizona, because about in 2003, a friend of mine and I went to CES in Las Vegas, and as a lark one night, we decided to go up to Area 51, and I'll never forget, we somehow got off course and had to get back on course by cutting through some road that went through like some Indian graveyard, and our phones weren't working, and we were like, you know, we better not break down in here. And this thing swooped across our windshield. I even have video of it afterwards, because we had brought the video camera to see if we could find, you know, see any UFOs. But I had it in my hand, but it was so quick, I missed it. I have us talking about it afterwards, but it sounded exactly like that gargoyle thing. And what I'm wondering is this whole sort of discussion may have taken a turn towards some type of man-bird type of beast.
Right, yeah, I know, because it takes on different descriptions. And a gargoyle, I've had a couple of gargoyles tonight, and it is a...
This thing went right in the same manner. It went right across from the right side of the car through the left side of the car. It was like this dark brownish, dirty brownish, like earthen kind of color with huge wings. And, like, I didn't see the head or anything, but it had two sort of, like, the, you know, human-type legs. And it swooped right by us, and we freaked. And didn't stop us from continuing on to that point where you can't go any further in Area 51. But I'll never forget that the rest of my life.
Give you a good startle there.
Absolutely. A couple more calls to go here. Let's go to Bill in California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, George, how you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
This is your Planet of the Apes friend, Bill Blake, the
That's
actor.
That's right. Very good, too.
I was born at the Cooper Hospital in Camden, New Jersey, and
That was my sister.
Wow. And I grew up there for the entire first 21 years of my life before I moved to California. And my parents had me a little bit older in their life. And my father would have been 104 years old had he have lived this year. So he was a child of the 20s and 30s, and he was a lifeguard in Medford Lakes, New Jersey. So they were right in the thick of the Pine Barrens there. And one of the theories that they used to have was that maybe some of the Jersey Devil stories, not the ones with the wings and the flying one, but maybe some of the Jersey Devil stories came from the Pineys back there that were kind of the southern New Jersey equivalent of hillbillies. And from personal experience, he knows that a lot of them were kind of inbred back there. They were very private. Back in that time period, sometimes they'd only come out of the Pine Barrens once a year to get supplies or something. Some of the kids had six toes, kind of like the Dueling Banjos kid from Deliverance. And he always speculated, a lot of people speculated, that maybe, just maybe, some of the Jersey Devil stories were rooted in some of the kids that were not quite right that were the Pineys back there.
Right. This is the one story, because there's all sorts of stories about the people, the Pines. And these are people who, if you're not familiar with it, have lived in the Pines. They worked in the iron furnaces and paper making, and then those businesses closed down. These people remained rather isolated, became known as Pineys, which one time was a derogatory term. Now they kind of like the name itself. And they may have had some... you know, troubled people, like I said, in the past, where people had a physically or mentally challenged child, they might keep them, you know, locked away and this type of thing. And, you know, it is possible that this could have happened among the Pineys as well as any other people, you know, had some children with problems and so forth, kept them locked up, and this, you know, led to stories, or occasionally one of these poor souls might get out and the neighbors would start talking.
Roll out a couple websites for us, Jim, that people can track the stories of the Jersey Devil.
Like I said, the best one is that it's njdevilhunters.com. And it's put out by a group of young, I guess, 20-something, 30-something people who go on a regular Jersey Devil hunts, and they keep this website right up to date with the current sightings. There's a wealth of information of sightings and, you know, theories and all sorts of things. I mean, there's a lot of websites on the Jersey Devil. You know, you Google Jersey Devil, you have a lot of things there to pick from, but I think that's the best one.
These are great mysteries, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Let's go to Cabot, Arkansas. Alan, take it away. Hi, Alan.
How you doing today, George?
Good, Al.
Actually, I wanted to tell you guys about a sighting. More than likely the Jersey Devil, possibly just a creature, I don't know.
Sure.
Me and my mom were at the house, or at my house, just probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. It had been a rainy night.
Is this in Arkansas? Or?
Huh?
Oh, is this in Arkansas?
Yes, sir. Central Arkansas. We took and we started noticing that our dogs were acting real weird. They were going from door to door and kind of sniffing around. And then one of my dogs, his name was Bear, he never growled or barked at anything, and he just started going crazy. I mean, like, wanted to tear down the door and get outside. And we decided to go outside, go to the window and look out the back window. And we got a shed out back with a security light. Somebody had shot out the security light probably a week before. And across the yard, we saw a really low, slinking figure. And whenever it looked at us, or looked at the house, I mean, the eyes were like fire, ember, coal red. I mean, like somebody had two cigarettes in their eye, eye sockets. And it was real creepy.
Did it have wings, Alan?
I don't know if it had wings, because if it did, it was they were tucked in real close to the body. I mean, probably larger than a buck, but smaller than a smaller than a buck, larger than a fawn.
Standing upright.
No, it was kind of like when somebody gets on all fours and crawls across the floor, kind of thing.
Kind of hunchy.
Kind of hunched down, slinking across the yard.
Huh. Alan, we're going to run out of time in just a few seconds. Jim, any reports of red eyes on this creature?
Yes, frequently seen with glowing red eyes or yellow eyes. Yeah, the glowing eyes is quite the common.
All right. Alan, thank you for being on the program. Jim, my friend, thank you for sharing updates on the Jersey Devil this 100th anniversary. Appreciate it, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Isn't that fascinating? The Jersey Devil. Something's out there. I don't know what it is, but something is. For Kara Scoburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.